Welcome to Over for Coffee. This is the podcast where we invite our friends and family over for coffee and talk all things community and creativity. In this episode, we have our very first guest, Jenny Ellard, over for coffee. We talk about sipping and slurping coffee, we give an update on the garden that Sam planted, and our hilarious hobby fails and wins. Come on over for coffee.
Hey, welcome to Over for Coffee. We're so glad that you're listening today. This is Sam, and we have the normal crew with us today.
Hey.
Hi, David.
Hey, Esther. Hi, y'all. We're identifying ourselves from Texas by the y'all.
Yeah.
But we're so glad that you guys are here, and we have our first official Over for Coffee guest.
Yay!
Jenny.
Hello.
Hey, Jenny.
How's it going?
Good. We're so glad that you're with us here today, and we are drinking a new coffee today, and typically it's
everyone
not...
Everyone grabs for their cup.
I've got to cleanse the palate first.
Yeah, I think, this is the second Starbucks coffee that we've had.
It is.
And so it's a little... It's a little commercial, the last couple episodes here.
Is that okay? Is Starbucks coffee, okay? Like, I feel like it is. I feel like they have good
everywhere.
Enough beans.
I feel like they have okay. good enough beans now.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's, they've been stepping up their game on their beans.
Well, the Peru stuff, beans. Too, is good. This is what we're drinking.
Yeah, we're drinking Peru. This is part of the what's it called again?
Passport series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a dark roast.
What are the... it describes it as,
oh, yes.
I'm bringing the bag. Dark chocolate fudge with notes of clove.
Goodness.
Oh.
Does anyone
hear
the notes of clove?
I know. Let me take another drink.
I hear the notes.
I like to smell my notes first.
I don't smell my coffee. I don't.
Really?
So you smell your coffee.
I always smell my coffee.
Dave, you
I do.
Smell your coffee.
I smell.
I do not smell my coffee.
No, I just
take
a big gulp.
But I do slurp it because I feel like I get the best.
That's just pretentious.
Too.
I mean, I slurped 30 seconds ago, but that's pretentious, Sam. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best.
I'm
best.
A sniffer and a slurper.
A sniffer.
I like need it in my nose.
Yeah.
I need some more than just taste sense,
yeah.
to really
yeah.
enjoy a good cup of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, all the senses.
All the senses.
But I think you're right. I think Starbucks has upped their game a bit. And
it's not Folgers, we're not drinking Folgers.
yeah.
know what I mean?
Dude, I will take Folgers if there's Folgers. I will drink all the coffees.
I can't do it.
I'll do it. Oh, yes. Uh-uh.
You're a better
no
person
Folgers,
than
no.
I think that's a sign of major coffee maturity.
I don't deny that.
Yeah, just maturity in general. I remember
Folgers
commercials. Okay, they made me cry. When the soldier came home, remember those?
Yes.
And and that was oh my God, it gives me chills.
That was Christmas, right?
Christmas and
Was that Folgers or that Maxwell House?
I don't care. It was just all that,
Maxwell
they
House
were all
is
like
not
that.
Good.
And he would walk in and he'd smell, it was like home.
Yeah.
And then
the
little
the parents
brother
would wake up, right?
Would wake
yeah.
up or a little brother or sister yeah. was downstairs waiting. It was like, you can't top that, man. You got to drink it.
I think it's
that's
nostalgia that's
that.
Getting,
nostalgia,
you, in the, it's getting
yeah.
you in the feels. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a richer experience,
Definitely.
Doesn't make the coffee taste
it...
any better.
It,
no.
Psychologically, it does. Did you know that?
No.
Science says that you have an opinion of what you partake in because of the memories you formed around it.
Well,
so the reason people prefer Coke over Pepsi is because they prefer Coke's commercials over Pepsi. Did you?
So.
That's a real
so.
Thing. Science
okay, so,
says
so. So there was a time when I remember, and it just reminded me because of the cup you're holding, because it has a certain restaurant
yeah,
on
I
there.
Yeah, I feel that there's some hypocrisy there.
And so
you'll drink from the cup, but you won't drink the coffee. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a time where I think we were going to church early in the morning. I decided to stop at this restaurant because I had this
you're
nostalgia.
Using that word restaurant very loosely.
This fast food place.
Diner.
I wouldn't call it a diner. Fast food dive. I don't know. That
were you getting some french fries?
No, we were getting their breakfast sandwiches that have the syrup baked into it. So I'm not going to say the name, but you guys can kind of go from there.
Oh, yeah, the McSkillet.
And I was just raving about how great these were because I had this memory.
To the kids
about how amazing these sandwiches were and how great they were. We bought them, the kids got them, and they're like, this is gross. And I had to admit, they weren't as great as I remembered them to be.
The only reason I eat those sandwiches that you're talking about is because after a three-day camping trip with Dad and Danny, we went canoeing. We were starving, right? Because we took like a little bit of food with us, but it was all like crap, you know, whatever.
No,
we made hobo meals in the fire, and we were eating beef jerky for days. We went and got these sandwiches, and like that's my memory I attached to that, and I eat them all the time, and that's what I taste. You know, I don't taste the chemicals. Like I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about like the warm memories I have of like,
so you know,
really sitting down with my dad. I'm aware of that fact. I'm tasting the nostalgia and I'm okay with that.
I'm wondering if I eat anything just because it's something that my grandmother or somebody gave me.
Cause think about it. I think everyone has something that they do.
I think so.
Like
my
mom. They might not know it, but they probably do. Yeah.
She likes these tacos that should not be coming from this fast food restaurant, but she loves them.
She does, yeah.
If I'm out late at night and I get her some, she's so happy. She loves it.
Yeah.
True that. Which, that is the same restaurant that we will be celebrating at here soon.
Ooh, yes.
So
this week.
Thank you guys so much for subscribing and liking.
Ah,
we are...
100 likes.
Facebook page is over 100 likes.
Yay!
And we are over 100 subscribers. Already.
It's nice.
So that
it's
is
nice.
So thank you guys for listening and being a part of the Over for Coffee crew.
I just want to know, is this hobby enough for you? We know that you planted some stuff. We talked about it last time.
Yes.
You planted some seeds. How did that go? Like, is that fulfilling in any way?
Tell us,
worth it?
So we talked a little bit about hobbies and just trying to do, for me to do a little more outside of what I did or what I'm doing with music and writing. So several weeks ago, I picked up seeds and potting soil and pots from the dollar store. I was just like, hey, everyone get something. So I did plant, and I do have little tiny saplings.
Wait. Did you water?
Yes, I watered initially.
Initially.
Yes. What does that mean?
Who has been watering?
You have
then?
Been watering, but we are following the biblical principle and mandate that one plants and the other one waters, but the Lord brings the harvest.
Yeah.
He brings the increase. So,
the couple that hobbies together.
She's feeling it. Jenny is feeling it. He's here.
He's here.
So,
he forgot about his hobby. Let's say that.
No, I did not forget.
It sounds like it was more like a Sunday afternoon whim.
Yes.
Saturday.
Yes,
kids
were
outside.
Harsh
words. Put it in there. I felt like I just had to get my hands.
And I say that lovingly because I have many whims.
But
so
paint.
So this is not a hobby for you.
It's not going to be a hobby. I don't see myself like building the actual like planters because some of the things that we got so we got like cucumbers and we got tomatoes and we got what was the other stuff?
Carrots.
Like those specific things like I need like major. Like square
dirt.
Footage,
yeah.
Like in order to do this, you know, like I need raised beds, like I'm not going to stick them in the ground, you know, and then also to, you know, to deter creatures, you know, like you got to do things.
So what was your end game then to like, even though you knew that you weren't like fully committed
to
it.
He bought them anyway, even though he wasn't.
I bought them, I did them, I wanted to see things grow.
Okay.
You know, we have little wildflowers beginning to sprout. I got
kale.
I got lettuce. I'm waiting on my peppers.
And your thyme.
Yeah, I don't have any thyme yet.
So despite moderate success, your desire for growing vegetables does not outweigh the work it takes for that to be a hobby.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Or even a second thought.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I don't see myself like going full out, you know, going out there and just saying, hey, I have to be back. I'm going to spend time in my garden.
Okay.
You know, I remember I had a little, I did what basil and thyme and oregano. But I just kind of did the whole chunked seeds outside my front door. And it's really interesting because I've planted seeds before and nothing came of it. But it was so funny to me, like this one time, I just literally like threw them out, like, and I was like, scattered, let's see what happens. And just scattered them like next to the hose just to see. And like weeks later, I'm like going, man, what is, totally forgot about it. And I was like, what is that? What is growing? And I'm like, it smells really good. And it occurred to me that I did that. Like, you know, and I think that it's, that's just life the way it is. You know, sometimes you just kind of throw things out there and see what happens. And, you know, you can be pleasantly surprised at the product. For sure. You know?
Yes.
That's cool.
And I think that was really just me just trying to do something different.
Right. And kind of outside the norm.
Yeah, outside of the norm. And because sometimes, you know, I don't like the feeling of being stuck, like, within a creative process. And sometimes doing something different, even if it's not long-term, like, hey, I'm doing this forever.
Right.
You know, but it gives you an opportunity to maybe use another, like, brain pathway to do something different that's out of your norm. Maybe that sparks something. And I don't necessarily attribute this to that, but I know, like, you know, this past week, like, in our prayer meeting, like, I caught, like, glimpses of inspiration as scripture was being shared, and I started playing something on the piano as we were worshiping, and now I'm kind of stuck on that. I'm like, okay, I have something to roll with, you know? So not that thyme, oregano, and, you know, lettuce and all that, like, helped me get there, but I am kind of, you know, looking at other things now. So.
I'd be interested to know, David, the science behind
hobbies,
doing something and being stuck, whether it's a math problem or studying for a test, and then stopping it, doing something completely different, and then when you come back to it, it's like it all starts clicking.
Yeah.
So that's like
the most evidence they have of that is when you go to sleep, right? Your brain is still actively working on the problem. Like, so when you're stepping away from something that you're stuck on, your brain is still working on it, even though you're consciously, you've moved on. Mm-hmm. And they studies show that, like, going to sleep allows your brain the time to move those pieces around so that when you wake up, you're way closer to the answer. And I discovered this playing video games. I would always get stuck on a level and play until, you know, it's bedtime, go to sleep. And when you wake up, you, like, know what to do. It's because your brains are constantly working on these problems. Yeah. I mean, it just happens.
Yeah, I think hobbies too. And I mean, I think it, I always tell my kids, I'm like, try all the things. Like, because you never know what you'll be good at. You'll never know what will sort of inspire something else. You know, you'll never know what, you know, if you're looking to do something different, or if you're looking, you know, to maybe even, like, you might invent something that comes out of just trying something new, you know, for someone. And I feel like creativity comes from, like, a whole lot of different places. Like, if you try a lot of things, just like you tried that, you know, you never know what will lead you down that path of really, you know, becoming involved and committed, and then bringing others into your, you know, like coffee for Dave, and, you know, and other things. So I think,
yeah, but as long as you're not spending a bunch of money on a hobby that you don't know that you're gonna
love. Definitely.
So thankfully we only went to the dollar store and we spent like $10.
Yeah, I mean,
not even that.
There's levels of involvement.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
always,
I think it's
maybe $10.
Yeah. I think financially is always going to be
like,
let
me buy 8 guitars, or let me, you know, like, let me go spend money, and I don't even know how to, like, play guitar yet. You know, like, that's how my kids think of things. Like, oh, mom, buy me this steel drum.
Right.
Because I had fun playing
with it. At Guitar Center.
At Guitar Center,
yeah.
It's $200. Like, no.
Yeah. Like, let's go to Guitar Center, like, a handful of times and kind of see if you even are interested, or we'll, you know, bring it up again. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then we'll talk about it.
Or willing to spend your own money.
Right.
On it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, and it not being, try not to cop out, right? But I'll tell you that I remembered how much fun podcasting is while after we recorded and began to edit and began to collaborate with you guys. I found a lot of enjoyment coming out of that.
Right.
You know, going in and hearing things, splicing, really putting things together. doing, you know, working with you, David, and getting the uploads together and being creative. Esther doing a great job on the marketing side of everything, and really just like everyone using different gifts and different talents and doing something that was completely out of norm that I remember doing before. You realize, man, this is so much fun.
Right.
I'm getting a lot of enjoyment out of this. And, you know, it's to me, it's like the equivalent of like being a kid and cutting and pasting. I'm just doing it with audio, you know? And so I got a lot of enjoyment from that, for sure.
That's cool.
That's cool, yeah.
So this is your hobby? This is
your hobby. I would say it's kind of my hobby.
Yeah.
No, it is. I think
it definitely qualifies. Yeah. It spent the right amount of time. You've invested a little bit of money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can continue to do that as we upgrade, you know? And I feel like that's a good hobby.
Somebody asked me like a month ago, I think, you know, don't you have some hobbies? And I kind of thought about it. And I was like, well, I mean, because for the past year I've been walking and so I thought about it. I thought, yeah, that's kind of my hobby. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I think we just need to stop defining hobby as like gardening or drawing or, you know, and all those things are great, but kind of widen our scope of things that we're interested in, things we give time to. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's something, I love being outdoors. And for the longest time, I didn't go outdoors because nature hated me. Like, I just thought, you know, nature was like after me, like wanted to like kill me because of my allergies. And so a year ago, I was talking to a friend and she was telling me about, you know, she heard somebody who inspired her. And as she's talking about it, she's inspiring me. And she's like, you know, he talked about making small goals, not like huge. Yeah. And so nature was a big goal for me at that time. I was just like, how can I get nature to like me again? Like, how can I take little steps? And I thought, okay, I'll just like, and that night I went outside for like 5 minutes. And so then it kind of, you know, it turned into 20 minutes and now I can, you know, go outside for 45 minutes where, you know, I kind of felt like nature and I are going to, you know, we're going to fight, like we're going to get, and now we're like, you know, friendly, you know, we're like cool, you know? And so I feel like if that's something that comes out of, I think so many things come out of hobbies, but for me, I guess I would say that's probably my hobby. Your hobby? Yeah. Something that I give time to and definitely enjoy. You know, awesome. Doing gets me outside, gets me out of nature. I love, you know, and I think one of the biggest things what I hear when I talk to people about hobbies is something that helps you unplug, you know, from kind of like you were saying, the daily, you know, things that you have to do and help you sort of reconnect in different ways. Maybe if it's to the Lord or if it's to, you know, listening to somebody that you enjoy, listening to a book or whatever. But you know, those are all things that I think everybody needs a hobby.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, so, I mean, I would definitely classify my gardening experiment as a kind of a fail, right?
A hobby fail.
That's a hobby fail.
So what, like, David, have you done any hobby, like, that you would consider that they became hobby fails or, you know, bad ideas or, I mean, like, anything?
I don't tend to remember. This is why my relationship with Kelsey is so fantastic for me, is because I don't tend to remember those things that like are like negative, like, oh, I messed that up. Oh, I forgot that. Oh, I totally ruined that. You know, because I'm just moving on. I'm like, okay, what's next kind of thing. And she's like, oh, well, last time you did that, this happened. So you're not doing that again. So she's really good at keeping me like in my wheelhouse. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'll have to consider that a little longer.
What about your pizza making hobby? Remember that was a thing for you.
See, I feel like that was a me fail. Like, that was mechanical failure. Like, I overworked mom's, because I was still living at home, you know, making pizzas and really enjoying it. And I, like, overworked mom's mixer, her KitchenAid stand mixer, to where the joints got all loose and stuff. Because I was constantly, I had constant batches of dough in there, and I was kneading dough for hours.
It was a commercial-grade kitchen.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And that's a lot of... I bottleneck quickly with my hobbies.
Yeah.
Like, I find the limitations of my current equipment very fast. And, like, I progress in a way that, like, if I don't have the money to invest in that hobby, then it does die.
It dies, yeah.
You know, so, like, with the photography, like, it started out with, like, a $300 camera that we had, like, on a discount, you know, refurbished. And it was supposed to be just, like, a hobby because Kelsey enjoyed taking pictures and I enjoyed taking pictures. And that hobby turned into something else. Like, and really quickly, I'm like, oh, like, this is, like, the limits I can get with this camera. Like, I already know what the next step is because I'm enjoying, I'm always taking pictures, I'm out there, you know, I'm taking video and things like that. And I'm always thinking about what's the next step, how can I get better?
Right.
Not just, like, skill-wise, but, like, material-wise, because that's why I find a lot of standstills there.
Yeah.
At the point of, your equipment's not nice enough.
So your hobby is equipment.
I don't know.
New equipment.
I don't know if I have like hobby fails or if I have like real hobbies. I just have so many interests and they're so diverse.
Yeah.
It's hard to make like each one a real hobby, you know?
Fails are good though. I think the more you fail, the more you're like, at least you're, you know, keeping in there.
Yeah.
You're trying to, you know, you keep going, you're trying to do it. I tried painting like a couple of years ago.
I always go back to painting.
Yeah, and I'm not really, that's a fail.
I think you go back to painting because it's nostalgic for you, don't you think? Like, because
it is nostalgic. Yes, my grandpa would paint with Bob Ross in the afternoons, and, you know, he could do it. He made the trees.
Yeah.
He made the cliffs and he made the water and the waves,
yeah.
You know.
That's cool.
And he enjoyed it a lot. And we weren't allowed to touch anything, but we could watch him paint. And maybe that is why I want to do it. I want to have like paintings, you know, and like little things. But I stink so bad at it. But I mean, I just keep trying. I have a lot of canvases in my garage just waiting.
Yeah.
So I never know which one of the times I'll
be
good at it.
It's going to be like, whoa. Yeah, I stopped painting. Painting was a fail for me. I like drew my sister. She's really into Johnny Depp, or she was. I don't know if she still is. And so, like for her birthday or something, I was like, I'm gonna draw Johnny Depp, like the Benny and June Johnny Depp,
the super cute,
quirky Johnny Depp. And so I started like just drawing like people and faces, and thought, okay, I got this. I can do this. And so I sat and I did it, and it was just like a serial killer, like room. I hope she still has it.
Oh, okay.
But it's
Jamie.
Like, I mean, I sent it to her anyway with love, but it's like a serial killer. It's like,
please leave.
If I
in
scares
the
her, I hope
so. It looks more like.
Oh, it was
what's
terrible.
What's the barber movie that he's in, right?
Oh,
yes.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, no.
The barber one
where he like.
Oh, the demon barber.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Man, what
I don't
is
know.
That
I can't
called?
Remember.
The Demon Barber of Fleet Street. How do I know that, but not the name?
He was a killer.
Yeah. Doesn't it rhyme?
That's what I drew. I tried for Benny and June, but you know.
Doesn't it rhyme? It's like something, something.
I don't know.
There's
we
like
got,
songs.
We got Google, right? So.
Let's Google.
Let's do it without Google. Come on.
No.
No, yeah.
Come on.
No,
we all know it. It's prevalent. It's throughout society. Like, The Office even had an episode about it. We should know the name.
Sweeney Todd,
Demon Barber of
Fleet Street.
Nice.
I did it.
Brains over Google, you guys.
Brains over Google.
Says who?
Give your brain a chance.
No.
Yes, because when you do, even if it might take
it's a victory.
I hate brain sticking. It just drives me crazy. Yeah.
And that's a good exercise for your brain. The more that you do recall, the easier it gets.
I do crosswords. That's my brain exercise. I don't want to.
I know a fail for Sam for a while. You
wait a minute. Are we allowed to do that? Fails for other people? Because I've got plenty of fails for other people.
For a while, he was making bread.
Oh, yeah, I did that.
Oh, I enjoy it.
He wanted to be a master bread maker.
Well, yeah, I did.
He made the worst bread. He would never need it.
I wanted
for
to be Paul Hollywood.
Time. He would never wait long enough. It was like
it
way too slow.
Forever.
Oh, the
to
patience
make bread.
Is real.
It is like you have to be like in it.
That patience
and
investment.
And it takes all day. I mean, I would wake
days
up
days sometimes.
I would wake up early
things.
In the
yes.
morning.
Yes.
Well, no, I would do it in the evening and get my dough ready for the morning, and then you have to do it all
you
day.
You would bake it in the afternoon because it has to like rise a few times. And then he has bread in the evening. And he's like, "That's it."
And then it's gone.
Yeah,
because
you eat it.
Great.
All the kids.
You eat it. It's gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yes,
but
I do.
But we love bread. We just don't.
Your hobby into, like, not just something that you enjoy to do, but something that. Is producing income.
Well, it was sort of a fail that I turned into because I was doing something with my sister, and we were doing a business, and then she ended up opening a separate business, and so we couldn't do that other one anymore. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, because I can't continue down that line. And so it was kind of one of those like, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to, now what? You know? And so to inspire myself for ideas, I just started going to all the stores and craft shops and vintage places and all kinds of shops and boutiques and things, and trying to see, okay, what can inspire me? What's different? What could
antique
I do?
Antique shops,
could I
you make, did a lot of antique
yeah,
shops.
Antique yeah, antique shops, thrift stores, you know, Goodwill, like,
yeah,
just
that.
What's out there, you know? And yeah, you like I always, you know, see something different, look at new things, and just a few things kind of caught my eye, and I thought, what can I make that's different? I don't want to make normal stuff, you know, but... So that's when I started, like, getting things that are not supposed to be jewelry and turning them into jewelry. And so that's kind of, yeah, that's where
that's
all
cool.
of that sort
yeah.
of came from.
Yeah, she's got a good eye for detail, so.
For sure.
Yeah. Where I tend to just want to duplicate other people's work, you want to do something unique and different, you know, which is great.
Which can be a fail, though.
Yeah.
Because then you're, like, trying to do something too unique and too different. And then it's like, okay.
But from a consumer standpoint, we have lots of buyers that come up and they say, hey, I want this.
Yeah.
Make me another one.
I get so many compliments.
Esther says, I can't. Like, there's only,
right.
I only made two or
right.
only made one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, that's it.
It's in the name. Unique.
yeah,
people get
bit.
Mad. But,
great.
You know. Sorry about that.
I think I thought of a hobby fail for me. I took up the saxophone.
I remember that.
Yeah. I learned how to play saxophone so I could play it on someone's album because they wanted like a solo jazz kind of saxophone.
Oh my gosh. I
yeah.
can't even.
Yeah, yeah, for real, you
Dave.
Guys. No, for real. And so I learned these scales and I could do it, but he didn't like how I was playing. And I'm like, well, you just don't understand me as a saxophone artist.
You were a misunderstood artist.
I was, unique. I was using it like very uniquely. And so he didn't
because
need
you
it anymore.
Didn't know what you were doing
I was
for.
Borrowing his and he didn't need it anymore because he's like, oh, I've got someone else who's going to do it. And he's like, do you want the saxophone? Like, if you want to keep. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, of course I want the saxophone. I want to become like a really good jazz saxophone player.
Playing on the streets in New York.
I did not do that.
I did not do that.
You still have a sax?
No, I sold it at a pawn shop.
Nice.
Yeah, I just had this saxophone in a case, and I didn't. I bought reeds, you know, and I was learning stuff, and then I'm like,
yeah,
it just fell off.
Yeah,
that
yeah the next step
total
is
fail.
You'd be making your own reeds. I mean, that's when you would have gone like
the last thing I played. The last thing I played was for the pawn shop owner. You know, they asked you, do you know how to play this instrument? Do you know how to make sure, I'm serious, you guys, I'm serious, to make sure you didn't steal it, they asked you to play it and demonstrate your skill
oh
that,
my gosh,
to prove that
hilarious.
I owned it.
This was your last gig.
This was my last gig, right? I'm in a pawn shop. There are people milling around. And I'm like,
did
okay.
Did you play Blue Moon?
No, I just started playing the scales and doing some little jazz, you know? A little doodle-doo-doo-doo, you know? And I like it took me forever. Like I was holding it backwards at one point, like the mouthpiece. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Why does it feel right? And I started like sweating because I'm like, this guy thinks I stole the saxophone. Like, what do I do? So I finally like got it together. And I'm like, I just focused and I played a little bit. And he was like, yeah, okay, it's yours. I'll buy it.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. I pawned a keyboard and they didn't ask me like to jam out to see if it was mine.
Well, yeah, I guess. Me walking in with an old saxophone looked
like,
suspicious.
Yeah, you yeah, and the
like,
saxophone didn't match.
Plus,
up.
I was in a bad part of Baytown, too. Because that's like where I worked. And so I'm sure they got lots of kids stealing all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of instruments.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I had to. He was like, what is this? What does this do? What was this called? Do you know how to read music? Like, he was asking me so many questions.
Wow.
I was under the hot lights, you know. I was on the hot seat.
How much did you get for that, Zach?
I just got to pay
like
my 300. Water bill.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like $50. It was
right.
like 300 because like the metal.
I would have jumped through hoops for that. Yeah, $300.
Hey, yeah, bring it.
Yeah, I needed that money.
Maybe not $50.
You're all playing for that money, right?
That's the best paying.
The best paying gig ever.
The performance of a lifetime.
At least you got a good gig, a paying gig out of it.
You got a paying gig. That's awesome. Nice.
Good there story. You go. So that's awesome. There's a creative fail for me.
Yeah.
But not a fail.
I mean, yeah, that's a win. That's a $300 win.
It's still a fail in my heart because it could have been great. For it could have been great.
Yeah. Could have been best. That's good.
Thank you for listening to Over for Coffee. Please join the discussion over on our Facebook page by commenting with a photo or story of your hobby wins or fails. We would love to hear from you. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sponsoring our next cup of creative coffee by donating on our website, overforcoffee.com. Don't forget to comment, like, and share each episode with your friends.